Welcome to Wombat Radio. This evening we're talking with Rhiannon Newton and Kynan. What's your last name, Kynan?
Tan.
They're doing a show called... Well, no, look, I'll just let Rhi start it off. Hi, Rhi.
Hi, Matt.
Do you want to start maybe what you and Kynan are doing this week? And then we can just talk about how it came to be and maybe... the interest in it every night and yeah sure.
This week Kynan and I are presenting Assemblies for One Body, which is a solo dance work inside a sound installation at Metro Arts in Brisbane. Shall I talk about the history of it?
Yeah, you just made me think of a dance work inside a sound installation. Makes me think the sound installation is a bubble. Like one of those inflatable people hamster bubbles you can roll down hills in that you could surround with subs.
Yeah, that would be good.
That would be good.
Like one of those, but with speakers.
Yeah, at every angle.
Yeah, that would be nice.
There is a kind of... I do feel a little bit like the dance is encapsulated in the sound, because there's two separate sound sources. The one that comes out of eight speakers that Kynan plays live, and the other that is a sort of timing device that comes from the PA system. So it does feel kind of like I'm a bit sandwiched in between.
Kynan, have you ever, like, I'm going to assume that the dance was the beginning.
Yeah, you can just say
is that right for this one?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a sound installation idea or a sound composition idea and thought, I really need a dancer to do some stuff while this happens?
Not yet, but I have been thinking more about it.
Uh-huh.
But as of yet, no. I kind of went at that kind of that point of making stuff. I went from doing just sound stuff to making audiovisual works, and I sort of skipped the
live body moment.
The live body stuff. I just kind of got rid of all the bodies and replaced them with screens. But I have been thinking about it. So maybe
it's
in the future.
From the screens.
Yeah,
maybe. I was wondering today if there'll come a point when repertoire companies are completely or almost completely manned by robots. So remounts of classic ballets or classic modern dancers.
Maybe that's just 3D cinema.
Well, I was really hoping that we don't have holograms, that we have like the entire chorus of a ballet is actually robotic.
That sounds great.
Because then you can just program in the steps, there's not 3 weeks of learning, there's no injuries, and then the people, the dancers are doing all the making.
There's been a couple of music productions where there's robots on stage playing instruments.
Oh yeah?
But they kind of...
They can't jam, can they?
Well, they sort of do, like, they're programmed in very like linear, algorithmic kind of ways, so it ends up being a bit boring. It ends up sounding like MIDI that's just been fed to a program.
And that's what I was like. For me, the interesting thing about dance is watching another person try and do something that's sort of ideal, but they never quite achieve that ideal. And if you're watching a couple of them, then you're kind of watching the difference between the real things and the ideal, and how those real things are different from one another.
Yeah, yeah. But I think about a scene in the movie Emperor's New Groove, and it's completely animated, it's all cartoon, and there's some guards who are doing a little river dance in one of the musical cutaways. It's really good. But the guard, like, it's animated, so it could be exact, it could be precise, and they could all be in unison, but they're a little bit out, like the angles of their knees are a little bit different and their timing's a little bit different. And so I feel like we would just program that in.
Well, I feel like that would be counter to the objective.
Yeah, but the objective of robotics is opposite to the objective of humanity.
in that it's just mirroring humanity?
In that if the ideal is achievable, then you need to change what you're aiming to achieve.
Okay.
It's a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing with bread bakery production lines is that we got to a point where it's like a perfectly rectangular white loaf, and now there are production lines that make more rustic looking bread.
Yeah, what else am I thinking? I'm thinking that, like, the robots wouldn't get the sensations of, like, pain and adrenaline and thrill and joy and pleasure.
You're right.
And that would be, something would be lost in the fact that they don't get that. And if they're not getting that, then maybe there's not that reciprocal, like, version of those sensations for an audience member.
So yeah, you want to see that happening as you watch it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I would never say dancing is about the achievement of form. I think it's interesting to work with, like, towards form or, like,
yeah.
But what's interesting is watching a very real person negotiate that and, like,
yeah,
be in relation to it.
Because the developments in artificial intelligence are leading, well, people are trying to work this out, like, what is thought and what is consciousness, and
totally,
and like, how can machines learn and change their own programming?
But isn't there a pretty clear understanding that, like, machines are machines, and no matter how close they get, they'll always be modeling? And even when they get really, really close, there's a fundamental, like, the very, very source is different, and it has a different objective.
Yeah, I don't really necessarily believe that. I think eventually it'll hit a point. I don't know how far away that is.
I think we'd have to merge into bioengineering.
Mm.
Yeah, but I can understand if it's kind of like half a human that's got half, like, half a body's machine or something.
A RoboCop.
But no,
the dancer, like, RoboCop, prima ballerina.
Don't you think there would always be something different in the, like, conception?
Like, consciousness.
Yeah, consciousness, of course.
Spirit.
And even if they get really good at having consciousness and are, like, very good at operating the way a human operates, their whole point for their existence is different.
Well, I think, so in terms of, like, if you look at the world in a, like, in a completely deterministic way,
yes,
like, everything follows natural laws, and then from those natural laws, of, like, clear results come.
Yeah.
So, like, when you go to do a movement, like, you go to improvise a movement, say everything, like, every single thing is exactly the same both times you do it. You say you have a chance to do it twice.
I don't think I can do that.
Well, you can't, but say, what if somehow that state that you were in, like, right before you improvise something, you could somehow, like, take all of that information or data and then put that to a computer that processes something in exactly the same way your brain does. It would make the same decision that you did.
Yeah. It would have to be, but, like, also in live and receptive to what everything else that's around.
Yeah, but like, those things can be programmed, potentially.
My understanding of this entire topic,
I think it's,
is that we allow the ambulance to pass.
I do think it's interesting in that, like, what I am doing with repetition is some sort of, like, pathway towards mechanics or machinery. Like, it's attempting to sort of, to try to be that.
Yeah.
And try to make the body be
there's
that.
There's a blueprint for that that then you try to fulfill, and that's where the interesting stuff happens.
Yeah. And for me, what's interesting is how bad I am at it.
Yeah, not necessarily bad, just very human.
Yeah.
Is this what keeps you pursuing the thing that you're pursuing in your structure?
I keep going because there's people watching and there's some sort of like, do you mean in the actual act of the performance?
No, I meant like, are you when are you going to get bored? But please tell me.
Yeah, well, in the actual act of the performance, like, yeah. The people there, like, there's a sort of contract that I will continue despite
there
the
is
fact
a contract.
That I'm a little bit exhausted and my body is saying stop.
Mm.
But more generally, like, even in, like, the most average of the performances, there's this little part of me that still gets excited or amused at what comes out of the body, and then when the timing contracts, how it ends up being. Like, there's a little bit of me that gets surprised each time that happens, and there's a small little spurt of joy that comes in that moment. And I don't know, I think, yeah, that's something worth pursuing. And more generally, I would say that, like, yeah, creating frameworks to watch the person being a person making choices or reacting to something that's there is what interests me. Mm. And like, so far I've found some ways, and to date it has involved repetition, but it doesn't have to. But for me, there needs to be something kind of firm or sort of solid for a person to be in relation to, so that you can see the variability in what they're doing in relation to the other thing. Some sort of constant to watch their own complexity against.
So is it a game?
Yeah, kind of. But there's nothing like... It's
no scoreboard.
No scoreboard.
Kind of not writing up scores as you go.
It's more like a... Like a cycle or something for yourself, because you kind of go like, oh, this must be really boring, I'm going to do it really much more energetically and make it interesting for the people. And then you do it really energetically, and then you start to feel really exhausted, and you kind of like, oh, I'm going to find a new way of doing this that's much softer and has more weight. And then you realize that your whole brain's checked out and you haven't been thinking about it for the last couple of seconds, so then you become much more like, I'm just going to be really diligent and precise. So there's this kind of like conversation that has to go on, and overall I hope it's a repetition of some fragment of the original thing.
I wonder if you're dealing with time. Like, you're doing the dance version of Cher's If I Could Turn Back Time. Because it was my understanding that turning back time essentially is being able to move all matter back to a certain formation. And that would effectively be turning back time. And then if you just let that go on loop and you repeated it, and every time you brought it back to a certain point and you let the universe go forward again until you brought it back again and let it go forward again, if you could do that to the universe, would it go forward in the exact same way if you brought everything back to the exact same state? Like, I wonder if you're dealing with time and fate.
I don't know so much about the universe. But I know that one of the things that I think is interesting is that in me choosing to attempt to turn back my time and recreate a moment that just was, that time doesn't stop and turn back for the people that are sitting there watching, or for the other aspects, the sound, whatever, that all continues. So that moment, that attempt to turn back time is always in like opposition to those things that are going forward. So if I'm repeating something, it's suddenly in relation to the fact that person's already seen it before and has a comparative point, whereas they didn't the first time. So there's this sort of like
leaving breadcrumbs for the audience.
Yeah, layering of sediments of the thing that, so you're kind of building this stack that each new one is watched against, that's a very different experience to the first time that you did it.
quite a big fellow.
Point of that, I don't know. Maybe illustrating that time is passing.
Yeah, because time is passing. It's true.
I think that also, like, the idea of, like, turning back time kind of allows this shift between different registers of perception. So you're kind of watching on this, like, large scale, like it's a 35-minute dance work, but then it kind of just narrows down. And, of course, the movement does this, but I find it really rewarding to watch for very small detail and to change the way that you watch consciously can really change how you experience the work.
Yeah, that's also what I kind of hope happens, is that someone's like, you would watch a person dancing and you'd kind of go like, oh, that's nice, or that's beautiful, or that's a bit clumsy. But in watching them do that same thing multiple times, you watch that thing and you kind of think this about it, and then you watch it again and you think this about it, or you notice what they're doing with their head, or, and maybe that's also in relation to how the dancer's shifting stuff around, but the kind of the act of dancing that's watched gets more specific, and the watching gets closer to the body or to the person somehow.
Yeah, it's like repeating a word until it loses meaning. Then you can actually hear the sounds of the word.
Yeah. And you're really, like, it starts to be that you're really watching that person's, like, consciousness and their decision making and their management of the situation.
Yeah.
Rather than watching, oh, look how nicely their leg goes in the air, and that kind of, like, sort of shallow view of dancing sometimes.
Yeah.
I always remember someone that wasn't from the dance world saying, yeah, I go and watch dance, but I never really watch the dance, I just watch their bodies. Because it's such a, like, a thing that doesn't happen in normal day life, is to watch another person's, like, body moving in front of you. It's kind of a slightly absurd thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot going on. I think you manage space really well. But I want to ask you how. Like, from the moment that people are coming in, I don't feel like you're doing a welcome, have a seat, or anything like that. But somehow, you're reassuring in that there's a complete skill, like mastery of being watched, and that it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked your comment about that last night, that it was a strong point. I don't really think about it, to be honest. I think about, and maybe it's to do with that contract of, it's my work. I've created this situation. I'm about to put you through something that's a little bit difficult and enduring, and I want to, like, the energy that's there is one of, like, please stay with me and come with me.
Yeah, so if you want people to stay with you and come with you, you need to instill confidence in the beginning.
Yeah, or just like, I think it's also interesting to me, like, who they are and why they've come and how they've ended up here. And that one little kid came in and he was just beaming
He
walked down the stairs, and then others are, like, really, like, trepidatious of, like, where do we sit, what do we do, and I find that interesting, and usually it manifests somehow in how I then deal with them in the work. Like, I often find myself in the repetitions close to the people that I really like. Which I never planned, just somehow sort of happens, and I think it's to do with the kind of, like, my heart sort of going, like, towards that bit of space.
So nice. Do you get that much, do you get to have play like that?
Play?
Do you get to gravitate towards people, or, like...
Not really.
Do you even see people?
I I can see some of the audience, and I will look at them very occasionally during a performance. I don't make many choices based on the audience, I don't think.
Okay.
You'd probably get in trouble if you did.
Yeah. I'm definitely not. I'm not feeding off the audience in that same way, I think. But I am trying to make the sound suit the space somehow.
Uh huh. So is that? Do you pick resonant frequencies of the space?
Yeah. Definitely.
And more things that I don't know about.
I'm using such a limited set of materials that I just try to very slowly and smoothly change between, say, different volumes, and then notice how the speakers vibrate on the floor, and then like different parts of the speakers will start making like higher clicky kind of sounds because they're also starting to vibrate, and that kind of resonance that fills the room and changes the space, changes the sort of pressure of the space.
And have you ever put a sub just under someone's seat? An audience seat or something?
No, yeah, but I don't think it would... I mean, unless it was like they were sitting on the sub.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how much... Yeah, but I mean, it would... I've always thought it would be nice if people sat on the floor, because it's sort of a different resonance on the floorboards.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really very practical.
Different countries, maybe. Different cultures would be fine with it, maybe.
Yeah.
That's nice. Some showings we've had people on the floor and they're always like really excited.
By the vibrations?
Yeah.
They're pretty stimulating.
I guess I want to ask how long this is going to take to resolve, to achieve.
The interest?
Yeah. Or how do you know, actually?
I don't think you do. I don't really, like, I wouldn't say I think about it very much. I have a feeling that after this season I'm not going to be in a hurry to do this work again, because it's really hurting my body. Hurting my body and my sort of concentration, it takes a lot of it. But... yeah, there's also things in there that I mean, the main reason I am interested in it is because I feel like it, not because it creates something, not because it models something that I really love in the world, but because it kind of models some of the things that I really struggle with in the world. And then it's interesting that I've just chosen to put myself into that struggle that I...
Well, yeah. Through. You're putting yourself through you're staging your life struggle. So that you have to go through a staged version? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, more like if I look at the world and I kind of go like, oh, this is things that concern me or that I don't like as much.
Yeah.
And then kind of trying to understand the abstract foundations or what that model of those things are, and trying to understand it by then unpacking it, you know, in the world that I know she's dance and space and time and stuff.
Right.
It kind of led to this, and yeah, I mean, I don't know, there's basic sort of like ways of doing things that are key to this work that I just reflexively use, and so I'm sure it will continue to shape what I do, but as for having like a question that needs to be answered,
no. And do you have do either of you have completely left of field irrelevant thoughts just pop up during the show?
No, my thought space is pretty taken between the... the only thing would be if I do a certain movement and it connects to a sort of weird imagery. This ending where I had my hand on my head at the end of the first section, I was like, oh, I'm doing a tribute to Matt's little hip-hop dance before the show.
Yes.
And like there, so there's that kind of like, but it's a progression. It's not, it doesn't just pop in from nowhere.
Kind of.
Like
you'll be thinking beat, algorithm, sound, vibration, Ugg boot.
No Ugg boot thoughts so far.
Okay.
No, I think, I don't think I think of much other than the work. I think it's because I'm doing that thing where I have such a small range that I like any big movement that I do would just sound terrible. Like it would be completely out of character, out of place. So I'm very, very focused on making everything fit. And to do that, it means like being pretty focused.
Thought I had during the show was, and I'm not a, like I don't know how to program anything, but I wondered where the, like where the tipping point is that something like Max, which he is going to give you more ability to program something than just a music program. Like, will we hear the difference? Or is it just more fun for you to use? Or is there just more like knobs to fiddle with that is super fun?
To a certain extent, I think it's really important to know what that kind of programming can do.
Mm.
And then, but I'm totally for like project to project. A lot of stuff that I've done just only needs Ableton or even less than Ableton, you know? Maybe it needs Audacity.
Oh, shit.
And I just use whatever is easiest and sort of simplest. But then I also, at the same time, know, like, if I want to do something very complicated, I can make it in Max and that will achieve that function. But along with that comes a lot of time and those kind of questions of whether you make something to be automated or whether you make it so that you can control it in the live performance.
Yeah.
And how much control you need at the live performance. Like, you know, sometimes I think it would be great to just perform with like two buttons and a fader, like, and just try and really control that really well. And that's sort of what I'm trying to do with what I do for this show is I don't use that many things. I just try to do them exactly as I think of them.
Manual.
Super manual. But is that all through the mouse? Have you ever used knobs or sliders or controllers?
I have, but...
Is that more fun? To like have a knob and go...
The knobs are fun, but what for me I realized was like I use a computer like many hours of every day,
yeah.
And I'm very skilled at it. And then what I was doing is instead of using that skill, I was getting out a controller, uh-huh. and doing something that I did like once a month. And I actually felt like I had less control over that than I did over the mouse, even though, but you know, then again, with the controller, you can do 9 faders at once, which is great,
yeah.
for some things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very happy using the mouse. And so I guess the thing with what I did with the Max patch is I can build in an amount of ramping or smoothing. So when I use the mouse, it is automatically smoothed. As opposed to using a knob or a fader.
Cool, guys. Cool.
Shall we call it?
I think that was a good amount of time. I want to thank you both for coming to Grilled in Brisbane. And talking about your current work.
Pleasure.
Are you getting a sponsorship from Grilled?
That would be awesome. I'd like to say this episode is sponsored by Grilled, but that would be a lie. We paid for our burgers. And Kynan bought us all chips.
Amazing.
Okay, let's sign off. Bye.